Hi, I'm Paul Carr. This is Teacher Tales, T-A-I-L-S. This is a prison story. Smiley face at Salinas Valley State Prison. Comments at the end. Not too many years ago, I used to visit Salinas Valley State Prison on a regular basis. One of my favorite former students dug himself into a deep, swirling whirlwind of hell at age 13. He ended up with 9 attempted murder convictions and a life sentence. A life sentence for a 13-year-old at that time was incarceration until the 26th birthday. I've mentioned this guy before, and I'll mention him again. Anyway, the student had been shot at by a gang, not his gang, and he knew who they were, and he and another guy burned their house down. 9 people were in the house, none were injured, but for each person in that house, he gained an attempted murder charge. Excuse me. Over the years, I had taught all my fifth graders chess, and naturally, I had taught him chess too. In prison, he sat in administrative seclusion, isolation, and he needed something to do. So we played chess via the mail. Our one game lasted nearly 3 years. He started his road through incarceration in Tracy. Then, as he wrote, he was transpacked to Corcoran Prison, which is a super hard time. Finally sent to Salinas Valley and was threatened with a sentence at the ugliest of all California prisons, Pelican Bay. Not a good resume, nor much of a prospect for a future. After our first year of chess, I requested permission to see him. That took 6 months, and finally, after much grief and many hoops jumped through, permission was granted. Since he was a level 4 maximum risk gang member and violent with many prison infractions, I could only see him in the window. The window is a plexiglass barrier between the visitor and the inmate. It's known as a non-contact visit. Visitors, like me, sit on one side of the window with a phone. The inmate sits on the other side with a phone. But even in the window, the inmate is still chained at the ankles in a waist chain with a chain running up from the ankles to the waist. So when the inmates initially walk in, they do what they call the shuffle. Tear-inducing for a visitor, humiliating for the inmate, a level of safety for the correction officers. Apparently, everybody got something out of those chains. Visits lasted 45 minutes. A light would blink, signaling the start of a visit. A door would open, and then my inmate would walk into the room. A blink would also signal the end of a visit. On this visit, though, time went from 45 to 50 minutes, then an hour. Finally, an hour and a half. Cool, I thought, as on many visits, I'd been shortchanged, even denied visits. One time I was denied a visit because I deferred to an elderly Latino couple. They were crotchety, bent over, and very, very slow. They signed in with methodical confusion. When my turn came, the sign-in correction officer said I was 3 minutes late. We have protocols here. If I let you abuse the rules, then there is no order. What would the other visitors think? I had intentionally let the older folks go ahead of me to be polite, so my jaw dropped. Arguing and reason were beyond futile and useless. I received one of many lovely pink visitor denied forms that I got over the years. It had taken me 45 minutes to drive one way, then I had to wait between 20 and 3 hours to get in, all for naught. Another time, which I mentioned before, the prison claimed I had not been granted permission to come because my name was not on the list. They screwed up because every Monday I had to step outside my school classroom and dial, and redial until I spoke with a human being at the prison. I had to give them the inmate's number and it confirmed a visit. I hadn't messed up. They did. But again, in the end, I got another pink slip. The most disturbing event, however, occurred during that non-contact hour and a half visit. Remember, they were only supposed to last 45 minutes. At 1.5 hours, a female correction officer rushed out from behind a door and yelled at us. There were three visitors. There were three windows, and there were three inmates. The correction officer said we, the visitors, were in big trouble and that we had to leave immediately because we had refused to leave when she had asked us to leave. This was all news to the three of us, as we had never seen this correction officer before. Absurd, of course. Obviously, she had been doing something somewhere else and was putting the blame on us. Just an aside, I would never think of not doing what a correction officer required of me. The hairs on the back of my neck were up during all my visits, the whole time. And I thought the correction officers were the good guys, and they would help me if things went awry. Unthinkable on my part to not do anything they asked of me. Absolutely, totally, completely unthinkable. So, the other two visitors and I were escorted immediately back to the other sign and building. A sergeant came out and yelled at us, telling us we had refused a command from a correction officer and that future visits by any of us would be in doubt. When a CO tells you, he said, you are done, you are done. Wow, I said to myself, but I knew to protest was a waste. If this is what they did to the public, I could only imagine what they were capable of doing to the inmates. So I didn't dare file a protest or a complaint. After that, my exterior prison visiting shell hardened. I used what all the visitors did with correction officers, the sphincter-tightening liar smile. Slaves the world over have used it for centuries. On the outside, you smile. Big ol' happy face. You act obsequious with bowed head and deferment the rule. But on the inside, you simmer and you wait to be screwed. You eat humility and crow by the ton, and the slights build. It isn't healthy. Not sure what the answer is, but telling this story may have helped me a little. I'm not smiling thinking about it. I'm not smiling at all. Thank you. Yeah, that was always a nightmare when I went to Salinas Valley State Prison. Scary, 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 scary place. So my inmate, my former student, he was pretty aggressive and violent, and he did all kinds of stuff. Whenever he told me anything, I absolutely believed him, but I also know most assuredly that he didn't tell me lots of things. But for me, when I visited, it was truly a different experience for me. All my senses were heightened. I mean, my eyes were open the whole way. My ears were open completely. My nose, everything. I mean, you're just on alert. And it was incredible. I remember it was 660 steps for me to go from the cage that you have to go through to enter the prison. You go from the visitor's building through a sally port, which I've mentioned before, is a series of thick wire fences, and they open up and you go into one, then the gate closes behind you and you go into another. So what it does is it controls entering and leaving the prison. Anyway, so when the last sally port opens, your feet are on the inside of the prison. And I had to walk, and it's eerie. You walk by yourself in a prison. It's quiet. There's nothing going on. I saw ahead of me two people sweeping and raking. No, raping was my fear, but they were raking. And they always had the CDC shirts on, which is, you know, California. Anyway, makes me sad. CCD, California Correction Department. So I'd walk my 660 steps, and they gave me a slip So then you go to another building, you had choice A or choice B, and it's just eerie. It's just eerie. And it's beautiful there. You're in Salinas Valley. There's mountains on both sides of the valley. It's disturbing. It's beautiful and a horror show at the same time. And so you go to the building, and then there's a correction officer outside. They ask for your paper, and you give them the paper, and then they allow you to go inside, and it's another room, all glass, and there's an officer seated at a desk there. This happened to be a female this time, and many times, and she wants to check the paper again. Then they let you into this room. Okay, now, this room is probably 50 by 100 feet, and it's filled with inmates, and there is red tape all around the outside perimeter of this room that's maybe 3 feet away from the edge of the wall. And this is a rectangle, and it goes all around the room. And the inmates cannot cross over that. And at the end of this room, on the far end, there's like a podium, and there were two correction officers there. And they have nightsticks. They do not carry guns because they're afraid of being overwhelmed. So I counted when I was there. So I had to wait for my inmate. So I sit there and I wait. And I am just looking at everything. How many tables are there? How many inmates are there? What are they wearing? So these inmates were allowed visiting in person. And so they had family members with them. They were children there, which just made me so sad. And there were games for the kids to play. And there were vending machines on the far left side. There were about six or seven vending machines with really crappy food. And the inmates absolutely, totally, completely could not approach those vending machines. But the visitor could. And as I recall, we could bring in, I think, $8. And so they, you could buy pizza and chocolate bars and stuff like that. So anyway, it's just, and these guys, my inmate said, Mr. Carr, you be careful when you're there, you pay attention, because there's some nasty guys there. This is from somebody with 9 attempted murder charges. He's telling me they're nasty. And they're rapists, pedophiles, murderers, arsonists, really hardcore. And one of the most disturbing times for me was I'm waiting for my inmate to arrive, because the little protected cell that he's going to come into, the window is empty, it's dark, but to the right of him there were two other cells, and a mom, I'm assuming, is talking to her son in one. And this Anglo guy is in the last one. Nobody's talking to him. And this guy eyeballed me. And to me, he was Aryan Brotherhood, you know, tattooed. And he scared me. I mean, this guy, still when I think about it, it puts the hair up on the back of my neck. He wouldn't stop looking at me. And he looked like he would rip through that plexiglass and pull out my esophagus. I mean, I would direct my view elsewhere every now and then, and just, you know, I'd look down and take in and everything else, and I'd look back, and he was just mad dogging me. Oof, yeah, scary, scary, scary. So anyway, my inmate said, Mr. Carr, when you walk in there, you lift your chin up, you have your hands out of your pockets, and you have your hands in the fists, and if anybody comes at you, you gotta punch them, you gotta kick them, and you scream like bloody hell, and you hope that the correction officers will come to help you. Oh my God. So that was something else. I was always upset. I'd cry like a baby after I left. I've mentioned it before. I would leave Salinas Valley State Prison. I would drive very slowly just to collect myself. And I would go to nearby Gonzales, and I would go to a burger shop there. And I just wanted to be around Latinos that were not in prison. And I took out my notebook and I wrote down everything that I saw and I heard. And so anyway, I know how to smile with hate now. At least anger, maybe not hate. But I can smile. I can give you a really good smile. And you have no idea what's on the other side of it. Terrible. Terrible. So that's a smile at Salinas Valley State Prison, number 41. There will be more prison stories, unfortunately. Thank you very much. Adios.